Don't lose sight of the song that we've just sung. So helpful, isn't it, as we come to the table and see the bread and the wine before us, that Jesus chose to take that journey to the cross for us. So hold that in your head as I take you on a bit of a journey, because I want to ask you this morning how much time you've spent worrying this week. Oh, don't tell me you don't worry. I'm sure we've all spent time worrying about things this week, worrying about what meals to eat, what to wear maybe this morning, or perhaps more difficult situations like financial situation, or maybe news about your health or about the future. I wonder what you spent time worrying about this week. It's just beautiful, wasn't it, that video report from the food bank and what some people face that don't have meals and don't have things to wear. I'd like to read some familiar words to you from Matthew chapter 6. Let them sink in again as if perhaps you're hearing them for the first time. Jesus says to us, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat?" or "What shall we drink?" or "What shall we wear?" For the pagans run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And then Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom. That's God's kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What a promise. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. I love Jesus' down-to-earthness, don't you? He knows that tomorrow will bring troubles of its own. I find the verse in there that strikes me on this Harvest Sunday, as we've listened to news about the food bank and soon we'll be hearing news about what's going on in Bangladesh, is this verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God. But seek first the kingdom of God. I wonder, how does seeking first the kingdom of God help us not only to manage our worry from this past week, but also to be generous and loving towards others, as we've seen demonstrated this morning by Sarah and Tracy and others at the food bank? Well, we bring those two things together because we recognize that we're living under the rule of a different king, aren't we? We're living under the rule of a different king, and that king is Jesus. Jesus who chose the cross. The one who we come to remember as we take this bread and this wine. Jesus, the king who suffered and died. Jesus, the king who was falsely mocked and accused. Yes. Yes, it's Jesus who reveals what God's kingdom is like. His kingdom, not by coming down from the cross and saving himself, but by staying on the cross and saving others. I think we could go as far as to say the cross is the throne from where the king rules. I guess what I mean by that is that Jesus established his kingdom through self-giving love, self-sacrifice, as we see on the cross, as we remember when we gather around this table this morning. That as those who now live under that rule, we're called to live in the same way, We're called to that selfless love, to that selfless giving. That's what people who live under the rule of Jesus are called to. So as we come to this communion table, I want us to spend some time just dwelling with what's in our hearts, what's being prompted as we think about worry. Perhaps we want to be still and bring those worries to our King this morning, because God cares for us. Isn't that, I love that passage so much, that speaks of how God cares for us. Or perhaps what's pressing on your heart this morning is that you recognize you don't trust Jesus as you should, that you're holding on to things tightly rather than lightly, that we're not as generous and as a giving as our God has been to us. And maybe we need to search our hearts this morning and ask his forgiveness for our lack of kindness, our lack of love. I don't know, what's God speaking to you about? As we come around this table, we have time to be still now and have a conversation with God, with your King. What's he saying to you? Do you need to lay that worry down? Receive his love and his care. Lay down those things that you know have hurt him this week and receive again his forgiveness. There's a wonderful verse that John says in 1 John, and it says this: if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then he says this wonderful promise: but if we confess our sins, which is what we choose to do now, he, God, is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So can I invite you to be still for a moment or two? Bring your prayers, your confessions to God, and then we'll join together in a prayer in a moment. I wonder if you feel comfortable, whether you'd be willing to join in with a prayer that will be on our screens, a prayer of confession and a prayer that God would change our hearts. Holy God, we come before you in humility, for we do not live as we ought. Often we do not love you with our whole heart and mind and strength. Often we do not love our neighbor as ourselves. So we pray that you will change our hearts and our minds. Show us again how to love others the way you love us. Give us power and courage in our hearts to do your will. This we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And so we come to remember our King who died on the cross for us. The Apostle Paul tells us of the Lord's Supper. He says, I've received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Before we take bread and wine, let's pray together. Loving God, we praise and thank you for your love shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power in lifting the downtrodden, healing the sick, and loving the loveless. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross for the redemption of the world, and for you raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory that we will share. We give you thanks for this bread and for this wine, signs of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King, loving without limits. This we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. We have three stations where we serve the bread and the wines. I wonder if those who are serving could make their way there. That'd be really helpful. There's one at the back and two at the front here. So do make your way to the one closest to you. If you know and love the Lord Jesus, you're invited to take bread and wine this morning. Receive his forgiveness and the love that he offers. It's gluten-free bread, non-alcoholic wine, so you're very welcome to join with us. Can I just invite you to hold on to your wine, eat your bread when you're ready at your chair, but if you could just hold on to your cup, we'll share together and drink together when we're all served. So thank you very much. Thank you, Paul. It's your blood that took my place in redeeming sacrifice, washes me whiter than the snow. I just wanted to make sure I remembered the words. Beautiful, aren't they? Let's drink with thankfulness in our hearts. Can I just invite us for a moment to linger a little bit longer on Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, about seeking first the kingdom of God. I like this. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Just for a moment, let's ponder what that might mean for me, for you this week, to seek his kingdom above all else. A kingdom that calls us to put God first, to love like he loves, to love and provide for others as he has provided and loved us. What a challenge as we come out of remembering all that Jesus has done for us. What does it mean to live under the rule of that king, to be part of that kingdom? I'm going to invite Paul to just play beautifully for us again. Paul, thank you for your ministry. And just allow God to speak to you about what that means. It might be that God is just going to touch your deepest needs, reaffirm your trust in him as your King and as your Saviour, King and Lord of your life. Or perhaps as the bread and wine is touching and filling your body, allow God to touch and fill your soul and your heart as you put your trust in him. Bring him your deepest longing and allow him to minister to you. Ask him what it means to live freely under his rule and reign. Ask him to show me what it means to love like we have been loved. We'll just do that for a few minutes as we take time to rest and to dwell in his presence.
We're sitting down. Let's sing this song together.